Oh, yeah. Tango. Tango de Paco. That Paco. We wish a beautiful farewell to a beautiful dog. Played by the wonderful Mama and violinist Kim Angelis. Hello, everybody. It is Arts Live and Local, and it's Carol here, and welcoming you to October 8th on a beautiful day, rather cloudy, but or I should say, and not raining this second, but it probably will be very shortly. Have a full show, and I'm dedicating it to all of those in need of healing, and have some new people on my personal list. Yeah. Sending them out to Jeff and Eve and Eva and Pam. And to you and Sue and Frederica. With lots of love. And of course, to all of the people in all of the countries suffering from violence and pestilence. I think that's the word. I've never used it before. Also, happy birthday wishes. I missed Fordinka last week. Artists. Kid. Siegel. Dan, Summer, Salia, and again, you, if you have a birthday coming up, Nancy, congratulations to all of you that we're all still walking this earth. Well, coming up tomorrow is Art Walk, Astoria Art Walk, and there is a huge slate of folks in galleries and on the streets doing all kinds of art and music. And I hope to give you some details on more of that. But first, I'm bringing you the artist show that is opening at Riversea Gallery. And I'm going to welcome Benz and Chang. Hi, Benz.
Hello.
Nice to have you here at KMUN.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
You bet. Well, I've been enjoying your work and for years, and this time I got to see something very special that you're doing during this show, and I thought, perfect time to bring you in and ask you to expose yourself. Tell us who you are and the work you do. In the past, a lot of your shows have been duo shows with Jill McVarish, and this one's a solo. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. And it seems you're doing this time a studio. They're paintings that appear to be studio portraits, almost photo portraits, photographic portraits, but they're watercolor. So I like the way you always surprise me and you always mix everything up. So I have to look carefully to see what I'm actually looking at. So this time, the show is called Islands, and that's, I think, to honor the commission that you got for the portraits for the 125th anniversary edition of The Island of Dr. Moreau by H.G.
Yeah.
Wells. Can you tell us something about that? Because, quite honestly, I'm still not familiar with the book. although I did see it, and your portraits, your seven paintings in there look terrific. So tell us about that, about the commission, and about what attracts you to the work.
Oh, okay. Well, so the book itself is, I mean, it was written by H.G. Wells, and it was, I mean, I ended up doing some research on the book, although I can't claim to be an expert, but...
You don't need to.
It's one of the first sort of science fiction books ever written, and it's about a guy who's like a... The main character of it is actually shipwrecked on an island, and the island is run by Dr. Moreau, who's kind of this mad scientist who is engaging in experiments to turn animals into people. And so the main character of the story actually, when he first sort of becomes aware that something's going on the island, he actually thinks that the doctor is turning people into animals the other way around. And he gets all panicked and scared and then finds out it's the opposite way, which is, you know, according to him, like not as bad, but still pretty horrifying.
pretty creepy.
Yeah. It's all very scary stuff. And I don't want to spoil the ending for anybody else. That's the basic setup of the story.
Well, it sounds like a natural for you with animals and people. And so were you asked specifically to do particular characters, or did you get to choose this, or how did it work?
Yeah, I was approached by the publisher, and they originally wanted me to do, you know, I probably can't say. They wanted me to do a different book. And it turned out that the other book wasn't really very fitting for what I do, besides being sort of psychological in nature. It wasn't very well fitted. And so I had noticed that they had done actually already a bunch of H.G. Wells and was like, hey, are you guys doing any more H.G. Wells anytime soon? And they were like, as a matter of fact, we are.
Wow.
Let's have you work on that instead.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So it ended up being a good thing. The publisher is called Sunset Press. They do limited edition printings of now they're actually doing new stuff, but they were mostly doing books that were sort of classics and then doing these very sort of fine limited editions of them.
I was just thinking though that you good that you spoke up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at that. And then you get to actually choose almost what it is that you want to do. Because...
Yeah. That was very stressful for me because I wasn't really sure what sort of position I was in.
But exactly.
They were very ready to sort of work with the artist. There was another request they made of me... But I ended up being like, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that just from from an artistic standpoint. And they respected my opinion and did, you know, and went ahead with how I felt about it, which was very cool. They were great to work with.
Yeah. So have you done, much illustration or, artwork for books before?
Not really. I had sort of self-published my own sort of big story books like a long time ago. And having done sort of like a straight-up illustration job, I'm not that interested in doing it ever again.
Right. Well, you know, you just walked right into where I would like to go, which is tell us a little bit about yourself and your partner.
Oh, yeah, Chang. All right, so Chang, we'll just start with him. He's imaginary. He doesn't exist. He is actually a stuffed animal who I named Chang because he was made in China.
Okay.
And it's just that simple. And when I think it's been 8 years now, about 8 years ago, I had always been sort of a frustrated creative type. And I started doing these paintings. I actually sort of call them the Benz and Chang paintings because they're their own thing. And it's been great. And
were you already painting?
Here and
making art of any kind?
I had always collected, I shouldn't say always, but I had always been very, like, restless creatively. So I would do sculptures. When I had a sculpture class, I'd be doing paintings. When I had a painting class, I'd be doing sculptures. Very sort of contrary.
Uh-huh.
I would do something long enough to sort of get good at it, like I kind of good at it, and then I would move on to something else.
You know, we have a program here on Monday nights called Short Attention Span.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Sounds right up your alley. Okay.
I know that. And so I had started collecting vintage photos. And there was some point where I became aware that I had been doing it for, like, I don't know, maybe a decade. And I was like, wait, I don't do anything for a decade. So I kind of looked at that, and I thought to myself, I was thinking to myself for a long time, I wonder if, you know, being an artist and all these vintage photos are going to sort of blend into each other someday. And they did. And it happened. And it's been pretty cool.
Very much so. And in addition to the paintings from the island of Dr. Moreau, you have some others in this show. What are those?
Yeah, those are... So one of the things that I used to do with Benz and Chang pretty... I would say like 95% of the time would, and it's based on liking vintage photos from a particular era where they would just, whenever they would take pictures of people, it'd be head to toe, like they'd have the whole person in the photo. And so I did that for a long time as Benz and Chang, and at some point I got sort of like it's limiting. Like you don't get a lot of real estate to actually make a face on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing this show, and I just decided to do a bunch of sort of more kind of head and shoulders, or you know, head to the waist sort of portraits.
Go ahead.
Then I have a little bit more space on the actual paper to get the face in.
Mm-hmm. But in this show, at least what I saw online, some of them don't have a face at all. Their body, different parts, different perspectives.
Yeah.
And go all the way back to 1819. I mean, if I didn't know what I was looking at, I would have thought that was a real thing from 1819. So now I was going to ask you, what did you do to prep for that? But now that you've told us you've been collecting these photos, do you know what that was about or what that is about? What's your fascination?
I think it's just a fascination with the other. Like things other than what my experience is and things, you know, and I'm a big, I definitely have the travel bug. I like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that experience when you travel internationally. And then also looking at things from other times. I just, like, you have very little sort of point of reference for them. And so... like they're still interesting to me,
and you get to make it up, and you get to put the personalities and the psyche into these pictures, I wonder.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I definitely am interested in, like, sort of shared experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of artists who do portraiture who are very interested in glamour or beauty, and that's their primary motive for doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And mine is more, I'm very much into sort of finding what's human and relatable in my subjects and trying to get that on the paper.
So, I have no idea how old you are. So I'm just wondering, before you were doing this work and making art, were you doing something else, or were you just trying to grow up, or what? Going to school, or are you still trying to?
I'm in my early 50s.
Okay.
And I went to art school in the early 80s, in the late 80s, I should say, and spent, like I said, a few decades just sort of going from one thing to the other and never really producing a large body of work.
Okay.
So this, I think I got into, like, my mid-40s, I'd say I was in my mid-40s when the Benson Chang thing started.
I love it. I was laughing so hard because I always thought there were two people. And, and then when I was at the gallery and learning about what you were coming up with next, and I learned that it was Ben's, I went, what about Chang? And I got one of these indulgent smiles, you know, like, you don't know? I thought, does everybody know about this? Am I the last on the planet to find out?
You're not the last.
Okay. It's good. But I like the concept. But it made me wonder, how do they work together? What's whose? You know, that kind of stuff. So now I can settle in. So how was the experience of illustrating an H.G. Wells book?
It was good. Like I said, I think, the way I put it is the next time somebody wants me to illustrate a book, it's going to cost them a lot more. And I was pretty well paid for this project.
Uh-huh.
At least I've been told by some of my artist friends who do that kind of work professionally. And I think it was just, I don't know, in the end, it's nice as an artist to have a framework to work within, like some limitations,
mm-hmm. boundaries.
I feel like it helps a person be more creative somehow, strangely. Sort of like a haiku. It's got so many rules around mm-hmm. it that mm-hmm. it actually makes it a lot easier to be creative. And I felt very, just one of the things as a publisher, I wanted to do everything in my sort of very limited palette or even black and white mm-hmm. for this book. And they insisted that I use a lot more color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the paintings would have looked a lot different if I had, you know, been allowed to do that. And so it's just stuff like that. I feel like I made some really good paintings for this mm-hmm. book, but I feel like the experience as a whole was one that I'm not eager to repeat. So
yeah, I haven't seen the paintings, the originals. I've seen the book. So small size. So I'm looking forward to seeing the full-size paintings, although I don't know how big they are. How big did you end up making the paintings?
I think I want to say that they're not very big. I want to say they're 14 by 8 inches.
I
think that's what the final, they're not huge, you know.
But they're bigger than the book, than they are in the book, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to work bigger than they would end up being in the book.
Yeah.
That's...
So, you're not going to necessarily seek this kind of work out, but who knows? Something could come to you some kind of collaboration that inspires you. And are you a full-time artist then?
No, I'm not.
I would like to be. You have a day job?
Yeah, I do computer work in the computer industry.
Okay. Well, that's a good balance then. I mean, if people are not familiar with your work, folks, I think you'll very much enjoy. You really need to stay with the piece and look and try to figure out what all's going on. But it's always been a pleasure. So, again, congratulations on the show. This is tomorrow. The show opens, and Art Walk in Astoria these days is noon to 8 o'clock, but Ben's will be at the River Sea Gallery from 5 to 8. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
And that's at 1180 Commercial. Y'all know, right in the middle of downtown. And there are two other parts to the opening, two other artists who are showing. Kathleen Powers has new paintings of animals and birds and her own fables to go with them. And Tabor Porter, Memento Mori, his talisman, those wonderful pieces of jewelry and larger than jewelry to honor Day of the Dead, which is coming up at the end of the month. So I think it'll all go together quite well. Thank you so much. It's lovely to visit with you, and I look forward to meeting you in person someday.
Great. So, thank you. Likewise.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Folks, as I mentioned, there are lots of galleries and things going on connected to Art Walk all over town. And as a matter of fact, I recently learned that one of the exhibits, I don't really have a total understanding. This is Art Total, 395 11th. And the name of the show, Doors and More by Tim Root. Also there is Carrie Williams and Lindsay Bones. And again, the show, the openings are 12 to 8. But at 8 o'clock, they're going to be doing music. And our very own Nevy special is going to be happening. An acid jazz set from This Lonesome Paradise. Outdoor Putt-Putt Golf by Morrison and Company, which should be a blast because everything he does is quite original. And it's all at Art Total. And all of our beloved galleries, plus some of the businesses in town will be showing art. If you stop by any place in town, you can pick up the Second Saturday Art Walk map. And there are 27 listings. That's why I can't give it to you. And on the back of it, which is very helpful, there is a write-up of each of them. You can also find the outline in Coast Weekend. But this map tells you what's at every gallery. So see if you can snag one of those and check it all out. And remember, the openings are great fun, but most of these galleries are carrying the art all month, including River Sea with Benson Chang, and that's going all the way through November 9th. Got some music for you, and my next guest will be coming up very shortly. And I got a great surprise in my mailbox, as did Debbie Twombly. And let's have a listen, and a big congratulations to our friend Hussa.
Thank you. knows. Tell ye the time a lovely day's recipe is. It needs to follow, cook up your nooks, spicy your life by adding a daily dosage of ukulele, one part bugs, and 10 parts hugs, and 23 parts of laughing with silly people. Grab your bassoons and your spoons and let's go. Smiles on the pies in the skies at the singing kitchen. Your world is like a chemistry where the lime's the key, so serious, so riddle me this. All of the best days are tame with a salty grain. So the setup is easy as pie before you learn to fly. You must learn to folly, grab your kazoo. You're welcome here too, to smile solar pies in the skies and to sing and cheer.
Oh, this is a fun new album. I'm going to have to bring it down because it's too much fun. I can't sit still. And that, what we've been listening to, is The Singing Kitchen, the theme from The Singing Kitchen. I don't know what that means, but this is a brand new, hot off the press. But I'm not the first one to play it on KMUN. I heard Debbie Twombly scooped me yesterday on the folk show she was hosting. And congratulations to Jason and to Tyler Neist. Huzza and Tyler and a whole bunch of other friends put out the Apple Pie Hubbub by Yoho Chimp. Oh, wonderful. Well, that was lively enough for my next guest, who is, hi, Dave.
Hi, Carol.
I know you're there.
Yeah.
And did you get to hear that?
Yes, I did. Wonderful stuff.
Isn't that fun? Well,
yeah.
Dave is here, this Dave Ambrose, who any respectable KMUN old-timer will recognize, and also all you country dance folks. And Dave is here related to those country dances and where we had them for many, many years and hopefully will again, including very shortly. So, Dave, why don't you talk about the Natal Grange? Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, I pronounce it Natal, but
Natal.
Everybody has their own way to pronounce that.
Natel Grange.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm pretty sure it's a Clatsop Native American word, but I'm not sure what it means, but there we are.
So what's happening on October 14th? That's this coming Thursday.
Yeah. Well, we picked the Thursday for kind of strange reasons, but we're having a fundraiser. Like many of the Granges, probably all over Oregon, we're all experiencing some financial difficulties with the COVID situation, and so we seem to be breaking out of it, and it's time to get our financial books in order. So we're having an event that starts at 4 o'clock on Thursday and runs till about 8, and kicks off with a vegetarian dinner prepared by the Blue Scorcher.
Woohoo! Yeah.
And then we'll be having a pie auction. Well, more than pies, it'll be baked goods.
Ah.
That'll be the highlight for us trying to earn a little extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of the members of the Horsenecks local group, Gabrielle McRae and Barry Southern,
mm-hmm.
will be playing live music for us to start some contra dances.
Oh, wonderful. And I presume you'll call the dances?
Yeah. And I'll make them as simple as possible, so everybody who says they can't dance because they have two left feet can get up there, and I'll make dances up that for dancers who have two left feet.
Right. I mean left. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So the main thing is to have a fundraiser and raise some funds for the Natel Grange. And tell folks where it is.
Well, I think that I could give you the easy directions. If you know where Miles Crossing is, it's just over the old Young's Bay Bridge on the south slope of Astoria. And once you get to Miles Crossing, you go straight through Miles Crossing and go about 4 miles on Lewis and Clark Road. Some people know it as the back road between Astoria and Seaside.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the easiest way is there's a really nice map that we've put up on our website.
Oh, great.
And the website is simply Natelgrange, all one word, .org.
Oh, that is nice and easy. Yeah, that's good because some people have problem with directions, like me.
Yeah, it has an address, but
right.
it's
yeah.
That's
okay.
That, you wouldn't find it that way.
So will you put balloons or something on the highway on the road?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We'll do that. It's a very obvious building. You're coming into a left-hand turn if you're going south. And it's a big white building that sits up high just off the road.
Yeah, if you're coming from that story, it's on your left. But it's a wonderful space, and this sounds like a fantastic. So now if the dinner comes first, does that mean that people really need to be there at 4 o'clock, or what's the story?
Oh, I don't think we're not going to start the music and dance till about 6:30, the pie auction maybe 5 o'clock or so.
Okay.
5:30. And you can certainly eat while the auction's going on, or you can eat and listen to the music.
Right. Okay.
We are going to check for vaccinations at the door. We want people vaccinated who come into the building.
Right. So people should bring their cards, is that it?
Yeah, or some I went to the Liberty Theater a couple weeks ago and I noticed that a lot of people just had a copy of it on their cell phone.
Okay.
On their iPad, so that's,
right.
that's fine.
Right.
And we will ask you to mask as appropriate in the building. Obviously, you can't be masked when you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to take as many precautions as we can.
Yeah, I think that's really important for basic health and also for a feeling of security. There's no such thing, there's no guarantee of anything anywhere, anytime, but it certainly helps if everybody cooperates. And I think the folks who show up to support the Natel Grange will do so. So
yeah, and as most people know who've been there, it's a very spacious hall inside, so there's plenty of room to spread out.
Definitely. Definitely.
One of the joys that I have is when a new young person, a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old, comes into the main hall and their eyes just open up and the first thing they do is run around inside.
Yeah,
and it's such a beautiful open space.
And the Granges were built with wood, and the floors are terrific for dancing, for running, and for just being in that atmosphere. So nice and open, and come and join. And even if you can only come for a short time or only interested in coming for a short time, that works too. The main thing is to see old friends or new friends and to help support yet another important local venue, which the Natel Grange has been. We've done many, many things there, and the dances, all kinds of...
Yeah, the dances go all the way back to 1910.
Were you there,
the
Dave?
Book. Yeah, I have the minutes book from the very first Grange meeting.
Oh, my God.
And the first thing they did after they got the building built in October of 1910 was to vote to have a dance the next Saturday night.
Fantastic. That's terrific. That's
so we're
that's
carrying
good
on
news.
The tradition.
Okay. We've also had a school there. We've had mm-hmm. weddings there and funerals there. And
music productions. We had a Woody Guthrie tribute.
Absolutely. So yeah. It is a real arts venue, and it's pretty basic, but it's quite wonderful with a kitchen upstairs. So do join. Again, that is Thursday, the 14th of October from 4 to 8. Now, I asked Dave also to give us just a minute's worth on the Arts Council of Clatsop County, which mm-hmm. is having an arts summit, a virtual arts summit, on October 23rd. So what are you going to do there?
Well, it starts at 12:30, and it's online. I'm not familiar with this system, but it's called the REMO platform.
Is there a website folks can get the information?
Yeah, the easiest way to get there would be just to go to the Clatsop County website.
Oh, good.
And there's a pull-down menu for the Arts Council.
Okay.
Although we won't be part of the county in the near future, we've applied for a 501c3.
Great.
So we'll be an independent group.
Great.
But for now, we're doing it under the auspices of the county.
Okay, and if you could be sure to put that on the KMUN calendar so that will get announced in the future, because that's not until the 23rd. Okay, Dave, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol, for
putting
all you
the
do.
Effort in. Okay, take care.
All right.
And
bye.
And I want to also mention that tonight there is a class for the it's a workshop for the Clatsop Cultural Coalition.org. Go online and check that out. This is the group that gives you money if you're in the arts or heritage or history of the area. And the deadline, I believe, is the 31st. It's written down somewhere here. But tonight there's a grant workshop, 6:30 to 8, and you can talk to somebody and learn how to get that grant written so that you might be able to pick up $1,000, $2,000 to help you out. I've done it way, way, way long ago. I brought the Balkan Cabaret to Astoria. We had a fabulous time, and it was a CCCC grant that got me there, ClatsopCulturalCoalition.org. That's 6:30 to 8 tonight. Of course, if you happen to be going to the scary movie at the Liberty, you might miss it. So check out their website and see. Oh, yeah, Poltergeist is showing at the Liberty Theater at 7 o'clock tonight. And they've got scarier ones tomorrow, Friday the 13th at 7, and 9 is Nightmare. And then on Elm Street. And then on Sunday is a Lightweight, Monsters. That's good for kids. So, whew. And speaking of scary, the picture of Dorian Gray is at the Coaster, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. Okay, I've got music, and then I have my next guests coming in, people we all know and love, and that is going to be, you'll see in a minute. First, I just want to play something, because Monday is Indigenous Peoples Day. And here's a piece from Reservation Blues. Break and keep. Break and keep. This is the album by Jim Boyd and Sherman Alexie, Reservation Blues, for Indigenous Peoples Day on the 11th. And by the way, on the 14th, it is Teach Truth Day. Yeah. Well, I've got some folks here to talk with us who I don't know, but they sure haven't broken any promises with me. They are two of, they have been, and they will always be, two of my favorite local artists, no matter where they live. And yeah, that's why they're here. Hey, Sally.
Hi.
Hi. Roger? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We can hear you now.
Good.
Well, we've got Sally LaCaff and Roger Hayes here. Just by the, I think it's by their coattails that we're holding on to them. I'm not really sure. Many of you in the arts community have already learned that Roger and Sally are moving to the Midwest. Now, that may sound really strange, except I think, Roger, did you come from there?
Yeah, I'm getting very broken signal. I can hear part of you.
Can you move into a different part of this, of your house or something? Will that help?
I think it's my phone.
Yeah, I think so. You may have to stand with Sally and just go back and forth. But
maybe
yeah.
Okay.
So
well, we are hearing him now.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. So, but he can't hear me. So, Roger, did you come from that Michigan place?
Yes. Yeah, a long time ago, many years ago, like in 1988.
Oh. Have you been here in Astoria that long, or you traveled the world first?
I think moving here got me started on traveling.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I had to just keep taking flights back for different arts-related things, and so I just started doing a lot of it.
Well, we are certainly glad you did. Now, Sally, you're a whole... she said, mm-hmm. but, Sally, you are a whole nother kettle of fish. Literally, kettle of fish. Because you... You are a Pisces, that too.
Yeah.
But you grew up around here, didn't you?
I did. I was born, you know, essentially in Cannon Beach and spent, you know, most of my little childhood here until my family moved away. And then I came back as soon as I could as a young adult. So, I've been here since 1991 as a young adult. So, that's a long time, actually.
It certainly is a long time. And so you're not quite as young an adult. You're still a young adult to me, but you're not quite. So how have you ever lived in the middle of the country or away from water, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think, well, I lived in Eastern Oregon, and I guess it was fairly dry over there. And I didn't like living there at that time. I might be okay with it now as a more mature person, but it is beautiful. But I think the water aspect might have been part of the problem for me.
Yeah,
looking back. So it will be nice to be near where we're going. There is a lot of water. So
where are you going, if you're at liberty to say?
Well, we're hoping to land in Detroit. So there is a giant river there. It's a wonderful river, and there's a lot of activity on it and around it. Lots of people just hang out on the riverfront all day long, families, and, you know, there's fishing, and there's just singing and dancing, and it's just amazing. Yeah, you would love it, Carol.
Yeah, it sounds great. Actually, truth be known, I spent my seventh semester, 1964, in Detroit, right near Wayne State University. I was going to school for one semester at an institute, and I did enjoy it. It was I hadn't lived in a non-campus school, so it was kind of fun. But that was even longer ago. So how are you guys feeling, having been here so long and making art here so long? And having so many good friends, I don't want to make feel bad or anything, but how are you feeling about leaving us all behind and going? Is it exciting?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, I think I've kind of, in some ways, I think it was like kind of cutting my teeth here because I was still pretty early on in my exhibition career at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just got so much more, like, you know, for want of a better word, like kind of worldly experience after getting here, ironically. Like I felt kind of isolated, but that's when I started showing other places. And so I had to travel a lot to do that. But really there's a good grounding community here of people doing nonprofit stuff, which made a lot of sense to me. So it felt like you could kind of hone your chops and still go do stuff somewhere else that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, Roger, you, in addition to making art, you're also a musician, and you also have done other things in the nonprofit world, counseling and stuff. So are you going to be doing all of the above, do you think? Is there a place and space for you there?
Where are we going?
In Detroit?
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt about that. I mean, it seems like you can throw in your efforts anywhere and you're going to have produced positive results. I mean, it seems like that's probably just a, you know, state of the world these days. That everybody needs help anyway, so.
That's true.
That will be fun.
That's true. Well, I was thinking, too, that it would be fun for Sally because... Mm-hmm. It's something very different.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet you have a guide because Roger knows the territory and is comfortable with it. So
yeah, and I've gotten more comfortable over the last few years, especially this year. We've spent a lot of time there already this summer. And, you know, every chance we get, we just drive all over the city. We, you know, explore different neighborhoods. We I know a lot of the street routes now. And
cool.
You know, if you name a street, I can be like, oh, well, that sector of town is great or whatever, you know. And I'm looking forward to learning more about different, you know, areas of wildlife and inner city wildlife, too. There's a lot of beautiful stuff in that city, and it's burgeoning in all sorts of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of community gardens and, you know, vacant lots that people have sort of taken over, or they're just being taken over by nature, and that's equally amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But a whole different, you know, type of biological surroundings, which, you know, it's so neat to go there and see a red bird fly past. You know, you don't see that here. So
nice.
That's pretty exotic to me still.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking so much of a red bird, but yeah, lots of new experiences. And, and that will be very cool. And for Roger, he's constantly been growing and changing. In the years that I've known Roger, from walking in on him here, he was a programmer, of course, here with a bunch of computers in the room. And I had no idea what he was doing. This is years ago. When was that?
Oh, it's probably, mid-90s?
Yeah, it was long before most people were doing that kind of experimental.
Yeah, I mean, that in particular is kind of really good to kind of have, there's a really good community here of people doing things like that and just to kind of be able to, you know, collaborate with other people. It really kind of teaches you there's other ways of doing things.
Absolutely. So will you take some memories with you?
No, we're done with this place. No, Carol, this is like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I have lived in Astoria, just Astoria, for 25 years. I mean, that's over half my life, and it's incredible to think about not being here. You know, it's kind of overwhelming. It's hard to really grasp, but. And plus, most of my family is in the region, too, so, you know, there'll be a lot of reasons to come back.
You know, when you started to talk about that, suddenly an echo. I don't know what happened with the telephones, but a real echo. You'll hear it when you listen to the podcast. It was as though it was reverberating what you were saying. So, yeah,
well, epic.
I expect... I expect to see you folks back here at various times. And also, I think a whole bunch of folks are going to want to come and visit you once the pandemic is hopefully under control and you're well situated and can take us on guided tours to all the hot music and mm-hmm. art spots and nature spots.
We would love that. We would really love that.
Well, I wanted to talk to you today, or I wanted you to talk to us, so we can see, oh yeah, I forgot, that was another thing, another life skill that I saw Roger exhibit. I don't know about Sally, but Roger was the chef over at the Senior Center for quite a while. So both of you have so many skills and are so good at improvising that I know it's going to be a rich, rich experience. But what I was hoping was, to capture this moment when you're getting ready to leave and then maybe have you, you know, we'll call you in a few months and see what's happening or maybe in early next year or something like that, just to see how things are working out and what's happening, what's new, what's surprising, stuff like that. When are you planning to leave? Do you have a firm date or is it kind of easygoing?
It's a little bit nebulous because we're driving, but we do need to watch the weather. So it'll be soon, in the next week, actually, that we're leaving town.
Wow.
We are having a little party at the Voodoo Room on Monday night, if anybody wants to come out.
Oh.
After 5 o'clock, we'll just be sitting there.
So, oh, my goodness. Oh, that's great.
Slowly drinking beer.
That's, folks, that's at 11th and Marine Drive on the north side. That's terrific. So we have a chance to...
We've been trying to see people, but it's hard to do nowadays. And
plus
everything's been really busy, of course, and everyone's been really busy. So that would be one way to, you know, see a few people at once.
Right. Well, have you been taking your art supplies and stuff like that to Michigan?
Yes, we both have.
Yeah.
Most of our stuff is already there, actually.
Right.
And
good.
I already have a few commissions lined up to start working on, so I'll be busy doing that.
Fantastic.
From here, you know, not new stuff from there, but you never know what'll happen. I'm just going to put out feelers and
excellent.
Roger's already got, you know, links to galleries and people he knows there.
I'm very excited for both of you. I'm wishing you the best of adventure and excitement and success in finding a good life there. Not too good. We don't want to lose you completely.
I mean, a lot.
But and on behalf of all of us here, I'm going to get teary. So I better let you go.
No.
I'm going to try. Hopefully, I'll see you Monday night. But
I would love that. Please do.
Yeah.
It'll be good to report back. I mean, actually, after we learn something that
absolutely
has, you know, concrete relevance.
Yeah, relevance. I like it.
Yeah, it's very vague right now what we're going to be doing or where we'll be.
So we will talk to you again soon. Be well, be happy, and thanks for joining me. Sally LaCaff and Roger Hayes heading east.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, bye-bye.
Heading east. Yeah, we love you, Carol. Thank
love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My baby girl. A little more from Yoho Chimp. And make sure you know, Cranberry Museum is harvesting on Saturday and Sunday. And Pacific Coast Cranberry. There's a North Coast Corral fundraiser at the Astor Street Opera Company, 10 to 4 Saturday. And that's it, folks. Time to go. And thanks. So the true journey should fill the space between you and me. He said some do. Carol signing off for KMUN.